Some of you who come to Christ Church regularly will know that we've been praying for the past 5 years for Farshid, who is an Iranian Christian, converted from Islam, became a Christian some years ago, who has started more than 40 churches in Tehran, and has for the past 5 years been imprisoned by the regime in Tehran. Farshid was released. We need to keep praying for Farshid because his life is still in danger. He could be rearrested at any moment. I don't know what the Lord's plans are for Farshid, but we need to pray that whatever plans God has, that he will fulfill those. I was also reading today about the persecution of Christians in China. Not the official church, not the official church that's recognized by the government, but the underground church in China, which is not recognized by the government and which the government views as a subversive sect. Christians who are following the Lord in China, mainly through the underground churches, are being imprisoned on a regular basis. All of this, Farshid's released, what I read today about China got me to thinking about government. You know, there are some bad governments in the world, really bad. And in our lifetime, speaking for myself, in my lifetime, I've seen some really horrible governments. People complain all the time about government in this country. We've got an election year coming up in 2016. We will be inundated with all of the politics surrounding that election between now and November of 2016. And if you listen to what we read in Isaiah chapter 9, it is a prophetic word that speaks about the day when someone will come whose shoulders will bear the government. The government, the Mimshala in Hebrew, will be upon his shoulders. And who is this speaking about? Jesus. It's speaking about the Messiah. Jesus came not to bring us a nice religion. Jesus came to usher in the rule and reign of God upon the earth. Last Sunday, I was talking about the quietness and the humility that Jesus was born in a cave, not a little manger, not a nice-looking little wooden shed like you see, but a limestone, wet, dark, dank cave, probably full of bat manure, in addition to whatever other animals had done their business in there. It's not a pretty sight. It's not clean. It's not sanitized. It's not Macy's Christmas parade. It's something that is raw and something which is real. And it was incredibly obscure. Jesus was born in this cave because his parents could not find room in a local hotel in Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a small place. And probably it would have been packed out for one of the feasts. That's why a lot of people think the birth of Jesus actually occurred around the Feast of Tabernacles, because that would explain why all the rooms in the inn were taken. But he comes in to this world with no fanfare whatsoever, in quietness and obscurity. He lives out a life until he reaches around the age of 30 in total quietness and obscurity. All of a sudden, he comes on the scene, and for a brief period of around 3 years, he has a ministry that turns the world upside down. And during that ministry, Jesus proclaimed something which has to do with government. He said, "Repent, that is, turn away from your sins, turn towards God for what's at hand? The kingdom of God." You see, the government that's coming is not one that we get to vote in. We don't get a vote in this. Heaven is not a democracy. God is the boss. He rules and reigns. And the whole story of Scripture, the whole story of the Bible, is about the rule and reign of God breaking into this earth, fixing a situation that was hopelessly broken. The whole story of the Bible is God's rescue. And by the way, Jan, that was a good script because I think that message came across. in the Christmas play, which is that God has mounted a great rescue mission. And that rescue mission will culminate with the establishment of God's rule and reign upon this earth. And the time in between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, that is being worked out. It's being worked out in a contest. And that contest, as I mentioned several weeks ago, is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. How many of you have read the Narnia Chronicles? Quite a few of you. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. They're great because they show this battle. And they show how it ends. And it ends gloriously. In our epistle tonight from Hebrews, we read that if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. Jesus came to reveal to us what God is like. He came to show us the Father. He is the icon, it says in the Greek, of the invisible God, the express image of the invisible God. He came to declare to us the nature of God. And in Jesus, we see everything. We see the love of God embodied in the cross, where God does for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, taking upon himself our sins. And we see the magnificent victory through his resurrection from the dead. I love the book of Revelation, but I particularly love the part of it, it's in several parts, that talks about the return of Jesus. Early on in Revelation, it said, the time is coming when the kingdoms or the governments of this world will become the government of who? Of our Lord and of his Messiah. That's what we're moving towards. The rule and reign of God upon the earth. That's what the gospel is all about. That humble beginning in Bethlehem will culminate with the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have a picture of that later on in the book of Revelation. And it says this, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. This should settle the argument about whether there are animals in heaven. Doesn't mention my favorite animal, but I'm assuming they'll be there too. Behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Now remember, Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem the first time to die on the cross. And how does he come in? He comes in on a tiny donkey. As I've mentioned before, donkeys in Israel are really no bigger than dogs. We used to have them wander into Christ Church, Jerusalem. Memory took a picture of me sitting on a donkey. My feet were almost touching the ground, so small a thing. So it was this kind of animal that Jesus came into Jerusalem on. Not exactly, even though it's called in the Bible a triumphal entry, not exactly triumphal. But yet, what did the crowd say when they saw Jesus riding in on this donkey? They gave him a messianic salutation. Hosanna, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Praise to the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So even though he came in the first time in a very humble manner, he was acknowledged by his people to be the Messiah. But when he comes again, he's coming in on a white horse. He who sat on it was faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and he wages war. You hear so much talk about Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus is coming back at the head of an army. And he will be fighting the enemies of God. And there will be plenty of them. There will be a raid against him. But he will lead this army in battle. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. We read in the opening of John's Gospel, and the Logos, the Word, became flesh and has tabernacled amongst us. This is the Word, the Word who is God, who spoke the worlds into existence. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a new name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I wish I could sing the Hallelujah chorus, but I can't. This Christmas, let's take the words of Jesus to heart in Luke chapter 21. Don't despair at what's happening around us. There are a lot of things, if you read the news or watch the news, there are a lot of things to get worried about. But what does Jesus say in Luke 21? He said, when you see all these things begin to happen, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming again. He's coming soon. And the government will indeed be upon his shoulders. Let's pray. Lord, this Christmas, we ask you to remind us of who you are and of who we are in you. That if anyone is in the Messiah, he's a new creation, that the old things have passed away, that all things have become new. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would encourage us and build us up and renew us in the reality of who you are, of what you've done for us, and of who we are in you, so that we will receive the gift, not that perishes, but the gift that lasts for eternity, the gift of yourself. We pray this in your name. Amen.